All right, episode 5 of season 2. This is AP and Spence. We're two lawyers talking college sports, sports law, and sports law in general. How about that? How are you feeling today, AP?
I feel good. We finally got some rain in Oregon, and so we're dampening these fires out a little bit. Smoke's cleared, and football's back.
Football is back for almost every program in the nation except for 3. Can you name those 3 programs that aren't back?
Yeah, absolutely. UCLA, because Chip Kelly hasn't brought him back.
Oh, that shots fired. Shots fired.
And BYU, because they had to postpone.
No, BYU is back. BYU. So 130 Division I teams, the teams that aren't back, UConn, New Mexico State, and Old Dominion. Those are the 3 D1 schools, all independent schools. That those 3 are not coming back, but everyone else is coming back, including schools like Hawaii, including schools like University of New Mexico, that are in these states that have pretty strict restrictions. So it'll be interesting to see how these schools navigate the coming back to play. We've got that problem here in Oregon, right?
Yeah, and did you know that Hawaii, now they used to make foreigners traveling there quarantine for 14 days, they're getting rid of that rule.
Okay.
And coincidentally, right as football's going.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
the laws are changing to make football happen.
Well, like you said, football. You have said consistently, yes, that football runs everything.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. It's the king of America. And when football's ready for their chicken and their feast and their goblets, you show up and do it.
So here's what I find interesting, AP, about this whole thing. Oh, there's a lot that's interesting. But one of the things I want to ask you about is, so we have the Mountain West, we have the Big Ten, and we have the MAC, all coming back October 24th, 25th, right? But the Pac-12 is not starting until November 7th. The Big Ten, the MAC, the Mountain West, they're playing 8 games, all conference games, and then they're going to have a championship, and they're trying to get their name out there and their brand, and they're trying to get into the bowl champion series, the playoffs, and they're trying to get into big bowls. Why is the Pac-10 starting 2 weeks later, only playing 5 divisional games, one non-divisional game? You know, that's more of against like a team that's close to them, and then having a championship game. So why is the Pac-10 or Pac-12?
Well, no, I'm gonna catch you on that. I was gonna say it's good that you downgrade. Sorry, you. It's good that you downgrade them to the Pac-10. They're not worthy of the Pac-12. Freudian slips last week too. Pac-10. We're gonna call them the Pac-10 for right now. That's good.
Yeah, but why? But why? It doesn't make any sense to me, because so the Mountain West voted on Thursday, just like the Pac-12 voted on Thursday. The Mountain West says we are playing October 24th. Game starting, and the Mountain West commissioner Craig Thompson said, hey, you know, teams like Air Force and Boise State, you guys can go out and play other schools, but we're doing 8 conference games. You're playing your conference, and we're going to have a conference champion, right? And the MAC is saying the same thing. It's like the Pac-12 doesn't get it, and they still think, well, we're going to be just as eligible for the college football playoff if we have a team that's 7-0, and that beat, you know.
Well,
why is this? I just don't. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it's a great built-in excuse for the Pac-12 of why they don't make the playoffs. They made themselves not eligible for the playoffs. So if a team goes 6-1 or 7-0, they'll say, well, you know, hey. But to me, why not start a week earlier and try for it? Because what's a week going to do?
What's 2 weeks going to do?
Yeah, nothing. And so it's flawed data. It's all of it's flawed data. But here's the thing. Yeah, I don't know. The Pac-12 must not have any interest in trying to make the playoffs this year. And it could be strategic. It could be, you know, to save face. It could be a lot of different things. And so they think, you know what, let's just focus on making a good bowl game. And we're going to make the Rose Bowl, you know. And all these Pac-12 teams are going to take up all the bowl slots, right?
Yeah, well, that brings me to my next point. The NCAA came out today and said, every team is eligible for a bowl. Doesn't matter what your record is. You could have an 0-6 UCLA team,
yeah,
going to a bowl game, going to like the Sun Bowl or something like that, and playing, you know, some team that's 4-3 from the Big 12. And, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Imagine this, Spencer. We can see UCLA, 0-6 UCLA, playing 0-6 Tulane in the Sherman Williams Paint Bowl. at midnight on a Thursday. But people are going to watch that. I'm going to watch it, probably, to watch Chip Kelly go 0-7. But, you know, but that's the thing. Now, is somebody going to pick an 0-6 UCLA over a 6-2 BYU?
Well, I think BYU is kind of a poor example there. But let's say a 6-2 a team like Troy. Okay, BYU plays Troy on Saturday.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So let's say Troy, smaller market, plays in the Sun Belt, the Fun Belt, your favorite conference other than the Pac-12.
Oh, 100%.
Let's say that you know the Meineke Bowl or whatever bowl says, you know, we have a Pac-12 tie-in, but you know, all of the big boys were taken. Oregon's gone, USC is gone, you know, Arizona's gone, Arizona State. All of the big boys are taken, and so we're stuck with 0-6 UCLA or 1-5 Oregon State or someone like that. Mm-hmm. Do you honestly think they would take a 6-2 Troy team over a 1-5 Oregon State or an 0-6 UCLA?
Absolutely not.
But why?
Because it's all going to come down to TV ratings at that point. They're like, you know what? Yeah, the team's 0-6. They stink this year, but it's UCLA. You're going to have 400,000 people from Los Angeles tune in. You pick Troy, maybe nobody tunes in. And they think, you know what? Neither team's probably fully qualified for some good bowl. And so we're going to just pick whoever we want. And so I think they should have put some parameters. They should have said, I don't know why you couldn't be, you have to at least be a 500 or better record.
Well, because I think they're probably thinking you're going to have a ton of teams that are going to be 2-4, 2-5. You know, because I know for BYU, for example, we've already had to have one game postponed.
That's true.
University of Houston, the Cougars, you're one of your favorite teams. They've had 4 games postponed.
Watch one of these teams end up being like 3-0, because right. All these games get postponed. They're 3-0, and they're going to the Rose Bowl or something like that against a team that maybe is like played 10 games and they're 8-2.
But okay, so how do you think the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12? What do you think they're thinking right now? Because those were the schools, those were the programs that were like, we're gonna be the leaders here. How do you think they would feel? Let's say that there's a 10-0 Alabama team, an 11-1 LSU team, but you also have a 7-0 USC team and an 8-0 Ohio State team.
Yeah.
But they haven't played in any intersectional teams. They haven't played across conference teams. They've just won their conference. Ohio State has a very easy schedule if you've watched it.
Ohio State's going to go undefeated.
They are. And so how would LSU feel if they're 10-1 or, you know, let's say 9-1 playing a tough SEC schedule and the bowl championship series picks or the conference college football playoff picks 8-0 Ohio State team that hasn't played anybody?
You know, I'm telling you right now, Spence, it's going to happen. Ohio State is going to make the playoffs. They really are. And because they can pick whoever they want. They just pick whoever they think is the best team. So it isn't going to be fair, for sure. And I think the Pac-12 kind of knew that. Like, there's going to be one or two SEC teams in there, and there's going to be Ohio State. The chances of us getting in there are going to be...
And Clemson.
And Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson looks incredible.
And so the chances of the Pac-12 even getting a chance, unless somebody goes 7-0 in dominant fashion, is probably pretty slim. So they probably figured, forget it, let's push it back a week or two, let's play ourselves, let's get into a good bowl. But, you know, it's kind of strange because you could either Oregon or USC probably is going to go like 6-1 or 7-0.
Sure.
And
very plausible.
Very plausible. And then they could be ranked 7th. And they're going to end up just probably in the Rose Bowl. That's what's going to happen. And the Rose Bowl is going to probably take the number 2 team from the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And play a decent game, you know, and that's going to be the way it goes. But I can't wait to get a T-shirt, Spencer, for like the Weed Eater Bowl or the Beef Eater Bowl. That's like 0-7 UCLA versus 0-8 whoever, and it's the Toilet Bowl, man. Yeah. Just donuts right there. I can't wait. I'm going to get you that sweatshirt for Christmas.
I would love that sweatshirt. I would wear it with pride.
The worst bowls ever.
The worst bowls ever, because you know, I mean, like you said, normally the team has to go 500 in order to make a bowl.
Yeah.
There have been a couple of years over the last few years where there haven't been enough bowl eligible teams. And so then the teams that are 5-7 will get a waiver from the NCAA in order to play in one of these bowl games, right?
Yeah, my friend Brad Boswell did the one for Georgia Tech to beat Lane Kiffin in USC.
And so you've got there is precedent that there are teams with losing records, but I am so curious. I cannot, because you know, as you know, I root for the little guy. I cheer for the little guy. And I just think it's so interesting to me that we're going to have, I know it's going to happen. We're going to have a 2-5 UCLA be picked over a 7-2 Louisiana Tech game.
Like guaranteed that'll happen.
Yeah. Or it's a Tulane or someone like some Memphis or someone, mm-hmm. someone that's like a good mid-major program that has a good record that beat who was in front of them, maybe even over a BYU, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you could have BYU go 8-0, 9-0, and not even get a sniff into a major bowl.
Yeah, can you imagine if BYU 8-0 is playing like a 2-6 Hawaii? That's your bowl game.
Yeah, in the Hawaii Bowl.
In the Hawaii Bowl, you're 8-0.
Yeah.
You're not gonna feel good about that.
No way. I'd be so disappointed. But I do think that's what's gonna happen. As crazy as this is, but at the end of the day. At the end of the day, I think you and I agree on this. No matter what happens, how many games they play, whatever, at least we have football, right?
Yeah, it's better than not having football. We have football for now, and you know, I think we figured this was going to happen, and it happened. We got all the schools. I get to watch my alma mater play this year. You get to watch your alma mater play this year. And we knew football was going to go, and it went. College basketball is going to go. Things are starting to, like, return to normalcy. They're kind of forcing their way into it, and we get to cheer on some football and things to talk about. And boy, I can't wait until we talk about bowl selection and the wildness that's going to come from that, and all these postponements and upsets and these scheduling. We got an exciting fall, Spencer.
I cannot wait, and we will continue to monitor as everything changes, because it is changing daily.
All right, what does that sound mean, AP?
We're going to the phones.
That's right, we're going to the phones. And this going to the phones is brought to us by Welch, Bruin, and Green. We're a law firm based in Portland, Oregon. We specialize in workers' compensation, personal injury, Social Security disability, and what else, AP?
Collegiate sports law. We can do anything a compliance office could do, plus more. We can review coaches' contracts. We can help with an investigation. We can help you draft or rewrite policies and procedures that you have for your athletic department or compliance office. We can audit for you. Give us a call. We'll help you out.
Absolutely. What's the best way to get in contact with us?
I think phone is great, Spencer. 503-221-0870. Ask for Aaron or Spencer.
You can also go to our website, which is wbgatty.com. You could email us directly at our Gmail account, which is collegesportsattorneys@gmail.com. Or you can email me at skelly@wbgatty.com. Or what else?
aprice@wbgatty.com.
Give us a call. You won't regret it.
All right, here we are going to the phones. Who do we got on the phones today, AP?
Well, we got Collins, Alex Collins, but we called him Collins, and he's a friend of the show because he's back, and he works for Lane Kiffin, and he's the recruiting coordinator there at Ole Miss. And do you know the mascot?
Yeah, of course, the Rebels.
Rebels, is that right, Collins?
It's technically the Land Sharks now. We retired that mascot a while back, so we're the Land Sharks now.
The Land Sharks. Okay, I learned something new. Hey, Collins, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, we're doing super good, man. I appreciate you jumping on the call. I know it's a super busy time of year, and thank you for kind of joining us on this Friday. It's noon Pacific. What time is it there, about 2 or 3?
It is 2:05 here right now.
There you go, a couple of hours ahead, you know, I know you guys are super busy. Do you guys have a game coming up?
We do. We open our season tomorrow against Florida. We've been prepping for them for about what feels like about 7 weeks of practice at this point.
Yeah, so Ole Miss versus Florida, and it's a home game.
It is a home game. We are 11 a.m., so we are the first football game of SEC this year. Will be our kickoff tomorrow.
Oh, man, that's awesome. All right, Florida.
It's an honor.
Yeah, that really is an honor. You know, Lane Kiffin, he's facing Florida. Florida's a traditional power. I'm sure they're going to bring whatever they can. And it's a recruiting hotbed, I would think, in Florida. And so you want to show up well. A lot of probably high school kids are going to be watching that game from Florida. And, you know, seeing how Lane Kiffin looks and what's recruiting doing and that sort of thing. So, you know, Collins, right now, obviously, the recruiting dead period was extended to at least January 1, meaning you can't have recruits on campus, you know, face-to-face contact with them, that sort of thing. How are you guys at the Ole Miss staff, you know, football recruiting-wise, getting around that? What are some things you guys are doing to try to keep recruiting those kids?
You know, I think we're really just trying to sit down as a recruiting staff and a staff in trying to figure out the best ways for us to replicate an on-campus, in-person experience. So we're trying to do more from a social media and filming-wise of, hey, let's film everything we do to send the kids just so they kind of get a, you know, try and replicate or give them that same sort of experience. So one of the cool things we're working on that we're going to kind of walk through it tomorrow and then bust it out for Alabama is we're doing what we're basically calling a virtual game day visit. So I know a lot of schools have been doing virtual tours. A lot of schools have been doing virtual, you know, unofficial visits, all that stuff. And we're going to do a virtual game day visit. We're put together, you know, just like if you were a recruit that got here at 8 a.m., and we play at, you know, whatever time. Let's say we kick off at 1 p.m. Well, you'd get here in the morning, and we'd show you the facility. We'd show you campus. You get to watch some highlights, do all this different stuff, try on a jersey. So we're taking that experience. We're making it virtual. So we're filming tours of campus. We've got, you know, tours of academics. We've got, you know, jersey try-ons, you know, football highlights, all that stuff for these kids and for the parents too, because, you know, they would be here with them. And so then for the Alabama game, we're going to have a whole itinerary, and we're just going to send people videos and send them different things and interact with them in a way that they can truly experience almost like they've come here for the game. We'll have them on the field pre-game, so we'll be sending them videos and, you know, doing streams of, you know, player warm-ups and locker room and walking out the tunnel with the team, all those sorts of things.
At Ole Miss, can you guys have any fans in the stands or no fans allowed?
We can. We're at, I believe it's 20% capacity.
Okay.
Is where we're at right now.
Well, that's pretty cool, though. At least you'll have some fans in the stands, you know, some crowd noise. Because that gives you at least a home field advantage of sorts. You know, if it was just silence with whistles blowing, that probably wouldn't do as much. And that's a really cool idea, actually. So the kid can experience a game day of sorts, right? You know, kind of what it would be like, what the tunnel's like, what the locker room like, maybe pregame, pep talk, postgame celebration, you know, that sort of thing that they could all be there for, but they can't right now. And so that's really cool. Are you guys are other schools doing that right now, or is that kind of something you guys just came up with?
I know Notre Dame did something similar for their games. I think all schools are doing, you know, kind of something like it. It was just, for us, when it got pushed back, the dead period to January 1st, you know, it went from we won't be able to have recruits for games until later to we're not going to be able to have them at all. And so, and then, we'll, you know, it's something I've been tracking for a couple of years because it's always been my push. And, you know, on average at the Power 5 level, two-thirds of your class commits before you play your first game of their senior year.
Oh, wow.
So now all of a sudden we were looking at it from my perspective of, you know, on average, two-thirds of our class wants to commit to Ole Miss before they even have the chance to see a game in person because they won't be allowed this year.
Oh, that's a great,
So for the juniors and even the seniors, because they're never going to get to see a Lane Kiffin team play in this stadium. So you're talking about, you know, if you take 100% of this year's class and two-thirds of next year's class, I mean, you're talking about 80% of who we're trying to sign in the next 2 years will commit to us before ever seeing Lane Kiffin play here in person.
That's
so for us, that was the big push for us to try and we really got to kill it. We really got to send a lot of stuff and let them see the atmosphere, let them see what it's like for us here because it's just not something that they're going to experience in person likely before they're committing here.
What type of instructions or information are you receiving from the NCAA about what type of recruiting tools are allowed and what type of recruiting tools aren't allowed?
I mean, usually with the NCAA, it works a lot with, you know, either we start doing something that other schools report to them, like, hey, is this legal? And we have a great compliance staff here at Ole Miss as well. So a lot of that is us working hand-in-hand with them of, hey, you know, is the NCAA going to allow this? Can we do this? A lot of the rules are pretty clear, and you know what you can and can't get away with. And then there are some times where it's like, okay, can we do this? And will they let us, you know, can we send this video? Or what do we need to do to make sure this is approved?
Yeah, I've always wondered that. You know, certain staffs have different philosophies. You know, I feel like, without getting too personal, but some staffs might be kind of black and white, where they might have a head coach that's like, hey, I want this to be an easy, clear yes, or I want it to be a no. You know, and some staffs, I think, are okay saying, you know what, let's go in the gray. Gray's okay, as long as it's not a hard no. Let's be front runners. And how would you say your staff is? Where are you on that spectrum, would you say?
Well, I mean, I think for us, a lot of it is, you know, we just want to be in the same boat as everyone else in this conference and everyone else in football. So I'm less concerned with yeses and nos and more concerned with why are we getting a no if other people are getting a yes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you were told not to do something, but then you see Alabama doing
other schools.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's like, hey, another school did this. Like, can we do this? Because that's always been my, I think, you know, working at a couple different schools now, the only time you really get upset from a recruiting standpoint is getting told no on an idea and then watching other schools do it.
Right. Yeah.
Especially if it's something that you see other schools have huge success with. And so that's where it's like, that's the frustrating part sometimes. And I know there's a lot of difficulties this year with all the waivers that went in for all the transfers and all that. Because I know, like, we would look at kids and it would be like, you know, I just don't think he's going to be able to be eligible. And then they're getting eligible in other schools. So there's some of that too, of like, you wonder sometimes, like, well, if we were skeptical or if we didn't think something would be possible, but another school found a way, like, that's when my frustration kicks in, because I just, you know, how did that other school find a way to get it done, or how did they interpret a rule or something, like, you know, along those lines.
Yeah, you just don't want to get outworked. You don't want it to be where it was, easy to say no, and maybe another school thought, you know what, let's contact the NCAA, let's do some work, let's find a way to get to yes. They put some extra work in, get to yes, and that could hurt you from a recruiting standpoint, actually. You could end up losing a kid on that.
Yeah, and I know, like, it's been a learning point for me coming in here, because the SEC has a lot of different rules than other conferences. So there's a lot of times where it's been, well, it's not an NCAA issue, it's an SEC issue. So kind of like those are, like, for me, that's acceptable. It's like, well, Oklahoma, you know, could do something because they're not in the SEC. But, you know, we can't. But that's, like, you know, at least all the SEC schools are in the same boat.
Right, the people you're probably, I mean, you're, I guess, recruiting against everybody, but probably really recruiting against people for the kids in the South, against some tough schools, right? I mean, you got Mississippi there, you got Alabama, LSU, Florida. How do you find a way to set yourself apart from those power schools right there in your backyard?
I mean, I think you just always want to, you always tell the people, you know, no matter where you're at, and you know, I don't necessarily believe in good schools. I believe in good people. I think every school in this conference has had a 5 to 10 year window when they've been really good, and they've had a 5 to 10 year window when they've been really, really bad. And, you know, it becomes, you know, is Alabama football who they are because they're Alabama, or is it because Nick Saban's been leading them? You know, I would like to argue that it's all a lot on Nick Saban. And, you know, you look at FAU, FAU has struggled for, you know, a while, had not been a great program. And Lane Kiffin comes in there and, you know, wins 30-something games in 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that had anything to do with, I mean, that had a lot to do with Lane bringing in his staff and what they did there.
You know, I was wondering, Lane's really good with social media, I feel like. Like, you know, he's got good comebacks after a game. He's kind of artful. He can have a little trash talk. You know, I know that when USC decided to keep Clay Helton, he kind of put a little thumbs up or something, you know, little things like that, but maybe had a little meaning behind it. You know what I mean? Like, he's very subtle and savvy when it comes to social media. Does he run his own, or is it like a staff that does it? That's really good stuff.
It's all him, really. And I really credit him for his approach. Is like, he is 100% him on social media. You know, so many places where it's like, oh, you have a social media manager or someone else runs it. And so it becomes almost like a corporate-like account, a very business-like account. Like, but Coach Kiffin is very much himself. So when you see those, like, when Clay Helton gets kept on and he sends the thumbs up response, that is just him being genuinely happy for Clay. And that's just him just being like, I don't care, I'm going to publicly send you a thumbs up on Twitter.
Right.
Or you know, yeah. You know, it was like, my one with last year was like, he had posted something about the refs in our conference that wasn't too nice about them. And someone said, you know, what are the odds that Lane Kiffin gets fined for his comments about the Conference USA refs? And he just responded with the 100 emoji. It was so off the cuff, and, you know, people, you know, it's making waves across America, and it's getting like 90,000, 100,000 likes, something like that. But that's just him being him, you know? And I think it's really refreshing to see nowadays with so many accounts being overly corporate and everything like that, that it's nice just to, you know, have someone that just takes a very just freelance approach to social media.
You know, I'll say this, you know, like, there's a lot of, and I'm no necessarily Trump supporter, but I think one credit he got from a lot of people is he was a little bit different. You know, he kind of spoke his mind and said different things that were unusual in the political landscape, you know, and got a lot of headlines from it. And Lane Kiffin, I think, does a little bit of that as well. I'm not saying he's like Trump. I'm just saying that like, I think being unfiltered sometimes and being raw and real can connect to people than having it always be so kind of polished, corporate, you know, everything spelled correctly. It sounds
it
phony
a
little
bit. It makes it feel way more personal, you know? Like it's not like so many social media, it's like a commercial, you know? It's a recruiting pitch. It's a commercial. It's this very polished, produced, business-like approach. And then some people take the social media and it's like, I feel like I'm sitting on the couch with Lane Kiffin and we're watching TV together, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just so off the cuff. It makes it way so much more welcoming to people on social media that they hear it and it just feels like, wow, I feel like I'm friends with Lane Kiffin, and he just made this comment to me.
Yeah, he's just funny, you know what I mean? And he's good, and he's skilled, and he gets headlines, and his name gets out there, and then he gets in living rooms because of that. And all of that's going to help Ole Miss. And I think he's always been a fantastic recruiter. He's always been a name in football, which I think probably makes your job a little easier, having someone like that you're working for, you know?
No,
that's good. That's really, I think right now it's so important. You have a lot of skills, Collins, with social media and video and all of that. I think right now that's heightened with COVID. That's just, and then that may become a permanent part of what some of the stuff that people do, right? I mean, maybe you offer up these kind of game day experiences even when the fans all return, but kids can't make it, or maybe they've already used their 5 visits or whatever it is, and you can still offer this up, you know? And so there's cool things I think that can come from it.
Yeah, and I think it's been one of the huge changes in football over the last 10, 15 years is just the explosion of social media, and you can make it feel like home even though you've never been here, you know? That's my goal. My goal is to get kids on campus, and it might be their first time ever here, but they feel like they've seen it all. You know, they've seen the Lyceum, they've seen the library, you know? It's still really cool to see it in person, but they have that comfort level with it that a lot of times you didn't have that in the past, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I think you're seeing more and more now of, you know, kids being more comfortable going across the country for school or going far away, or it's not just I'm gonna stay in the in state school. I'm gonna go where I wanna go. And I think a lot of that is credited to just kids being more comfortable, you know, just being more traveled, and through social media they're just exposed to way more different schools and different towns than they were before.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Collins, we'll let you go, man. We know you're super busy. Thank you for letting us buy some tickets on this Lane train. I know that it's been fun. And always, you just have a ton to say. You're a recruiting expert. And I've said that for a long time, and you're going to be able to be in the recruiting world as long as you want to be, you know, and work for huge schools. And we'd love to have you back at SC. Maybe one day, who knows? If I'm athletic director, you're coming back.
That would be awesome. It's always everyone's goal. You know, I love Ole Miss. I want to be here for a long time. But I'd be lying if I didn't say that returning to the alma mater wasn't a goal at some point, or definitely something that would be cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. But right now you're happy, you're rolling, and we'll be watching Ole Miss versus Florida, rooting for Ole Miss Land Sharks.
The Land Sharks over the Gators.
Go Land Sharks. We're 11 a.m. Central on ESPN tomorrow. It should be a great game.
We'll be watching for sure.
Absolutely, Collins. Good luck, man.
Awesome.
Have fun. Keep up the great work. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. I appreciate it, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya. Bye.
All right. Bye.
I tell you what, it is good to have friends of the show. Collins, just like last time, he brought it, and he brought it hot and spicy, right?
Oh, he really did. We bought two tickets to the Lane Train. They're not canceled. I mean, the Lane Train still goes in coronavirus. You don't even have to wear a mask.
That's right.
You just go. And we were on this train today, and we were roping around, and we were learning about all the creative ways they get around the dead period with Zoom calls. And this game day experience they're doing. How cool is that, right? So a kid will be able to watch it and get to see the pregame walkout, walk through the tunnel, hear the music, hear the roar of the crowd. They got 20% capacity, so there's going to be a lot. That's going to seem like a ton of fans in this coronavirus day.
Right.
Post-game locker room, if they beat Florida, people are going to be dancing. You'll probably see Collins dancing. He'll be having the camera. And the kid will be like, I'm there with them. I'm at this game.
Right.
And I feel great about it. I want to be a part of the Lane Train.
Right. And I guess I just am curious because, you know, I've never worked at a compliance office. You did. And I know that you worked with recruiting, right? And I just like Collins does. Maybe. And how important are those on-campus visits when you're recruiting a college player? I feel like they're vitally important.
Yeah, it's all the difference. Because if you think about it, Spencer, so far I did recruiting for 2.5 years for USC football, and I was the only guy in charge of USC football recruiting for the rules, right? And so everything came to me. And what happened was these kids will have 5 official visits they could take, right? And they would go to LSU. They would go to Alabama. They would go to Ohio State. They would go to Oregon. They'd go to USC. And they're getting wined and dined like you wouldn't believe at every different place and all these experiences. You're trying to get, this is the number 13 recruit in the country. You need him on your team. And it's so important to have him there, hug the kid, walk the kid around campus, show him things, joke with him, let him see. I would compare it to like a job. If you were going to join a major firm, Spencer, you're going to want to go to the place. You're going to want to talk to the partners. You're going to hear what they have to say. Same idea. And so it's the difference between maybe signing a kid and not. And now if you can't have that kid on campus, they don't know. They're like, okay, I've seen LSU on TV. I don't know what it's like there. I don't know what the buildings look like. I don't know what the coaches are really like. I don't know if I really want to go there. But I live in Los Angeles, and I've been to USC's campus. I feel more comfortable there. I'm going to go there.
Right.
Right? And so, yeah, this is being able to win this. And you know who can win the recruiting battle is Lane Kiffin. He can win it.
Well, because, I mean, we don't know all of the rules. We don't know all the ins and outs. I mean, it sounds like from the people we've talked to, the recruiting rules are changing almost every day.
Yeah.
With in the midst of the Rona, right? I mean, it is every day, new different changes, differences, everything is new and different, right?
What I used to do at football, just so people know, so once a week I would meet with the recruiting staff, 5 people. 6 people sometimes. Sometimes Clay Helton would join, or staff members. And I would have an agenda of the 5 things or 8 things we wanted to talk about just this week. Here's the rule. Here's the rule. Here's the rule. Here's the rule. What are you guys doing? What do you need cleared? What do you need me to do? Communication was absolutely vital, and being proactive. And that's what we used to do. And so, yeah, I mean, a month can go by and 8 new rules can change.
Right.
And so it's changing so fast that compliance officers are trying to keep up with it, and
right.
Coaches too. And so things are like boom, boom, boom because of the ever-changing Rona. And so, but right now, all people can do is use Zoom, and that's all they can do. This laptop or this iPad or your phone is the window to signing top talent, and you're going to do all you can. But know this, now your recruiting's public, because when you put things on social media, everybody can see.
Right.
Where things used to be a little more private, now people are going to look. And so if you do anything that's a little skirts the rules, 12 schools are going to call you out.
Right. And that's, and you heard that when Collins was talking, right? He said things like, you know, why is this school allowed to do it? We want to do that here too.
Yeah. I used to get that at USC all the time. I would look up a rule sometimes and think, we can't get there. I talked to the Pac-12 conference and they'd say, yeah, I don't think we can get there. Okay. Let's say no. And then football would bring something to me the next week and go, Penn State's doing it. How'd they do it? Like, geez, I don't know. I mean, you know, we talked to the staff, we talked to the Pac-12, we go to the Pac-12, and the Pac-12 would say, well, we say no. They would call the Big Ten. The Big Ten would say, yeah, I think we can do it. Here's why. Let's get a tiebreaker from the NCAA. So there's sometimes inconsistencies right. throughout the country. And the compliance office sometimes would be blamed for that. But we don't have our pulse on all of the recruiting things that are going on out there. We need that stuff brought to us. And then we would get it greenlit really quick.
Yeah.
But then they would be upset because they'd say, well, they did it first. Right. Gotcha. And so it's tricky. It's a tricky business.
Yeah. Well, it's just fascinating to me. And again, that's why you need people who know what they're talking about. Right.
Right. And what would happen is I'd get a text at like 9:44 p.m. on a Friday night.
Yeah.
I'm sitting down. We're watching. Now it's Cobra Kai, but it would have been something different. We're sitting here watching
Stranger Things or something.
Yeah. Stranger Things. Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm into it. I got popcorn mixed with my Milk Duds. My wife's next to me and it would be blink. And I look at my phone. And I think, oh, it's Spencer Kelly texting me. No, it's Clay Helton, and he needs to know a recruiting thing by 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah, because I've got an in-person visit, and I got to know if I can do this.
Yeah, so tomorrow. I need to know right now. Sorry to hit you up so late, Aaron, but I need to know stat. And now I'm thinking, oh, gosh, I better grab my book real quick. It's right by my lamppost here. Let me dig through it, get him an answer. And that's how fast you had to be.
Yeah.
So you had to know your stuff. You didn't really have time to go, let me ask a bunch of people. And if you got it wrong and they moved on it, your fault.
Yeah,
and so right. Guess how many violations we had in recruiting in 2.5 years? Zero.
Boom.
Zero. Now,
dropping the bomb.
We did have other football problems, but we didn't have any like recruiting interp problems. So anyways.
That's AP for you, right?
Yeah, there. Right.
That's AP. All right.
We lost a lot of hair, though.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, AP, I have some bad news for you.
Yeah.
Last week, first 2 weeks, you were 8-0.
8-0.
You were 8-0. You were flying high. Last week with the picks, you went 3-1.
Yeah, so but I'm 11-1, right?
11-1.
You know what?
Overall.
That's going to get you playoffs, baby.
That's playoffs. That's right.
That's
right.
Playoffs, not for BYU.
Not for BYU.
You
no,
get Hawaii.
We wouldn't even get a sniff if we went 11-1. But so now we got a new week.
If right? you were going to bet money, and someone said I can get 11 out of 12 right, you're putting money on that guy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And I think people should follow.
Absolutely.
People should follow us and listen to these picks at the end of the end because this AP is on fire. 11-1 is on fire.
Big time.
All right. So we got four games here. We're going to start with Army Cincinnati. So Army Cincinnati, Army's 22, Cincinnati's 14. It's at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's 13-point favorite. Who wins that game?
Natty.
Cincinnati?
Yeah,
big.
They win by 14.
Okay, so they'll cover.
They'll cover.
Interesting. All right, next game. We got Kentucky versus Auburn. Kentucky's ranked 23. Auburn's 8. Auburn is a 7.5-point favorite. Who do you got in that game?
Auburn by 17.
Big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so they cover big. All right, now let's go to the game we just heard about, Ole Miss, Florida. Who do you got in that game? This is at Ole Miss. Florida is ranked 5th in the nation, and they are 14-point favorites.
I think Florida by 7.
Okay.
Now, I think it's going to be a battle. Ole Miss is going to show up. Lane Train's going crazy. But Florida, towards the fourth quarter, they're better athletes. I think they're going to just sort of find a way to win.
All right. And last game that's near and dear to my heart, we got the Troy. Do you know their nickname?
The Troy. Yeah, I do. It's Troy. I do know this, Spencer. But you better tell me.
It's the Troy Trojans.
Trojans.
I knew.
Right.
I was.
Here's the thing. I knew that there was no other Trojans. They can't really be the real Trojans. So then I forget. My blank on
Troy Trojans. Yeah, and they're playing my BYU Cougars. BYU is 15-point favorites. They're playing on ESPN tomorrow night, 7:15. Who do you got in that game?
I got BYU. But I'm telling, they're gonna have a little bit of a letdown. But they're gonna win by 10.
They're going to win by 10, so they're not going to cover.
Not going
to
cover.
But BYU to win the game.
Yes.
Outright. Okay. All right. So those are the AP picks of the week. He is on fire, 11-1. Let's hope he goes. If he go 15-1, we'll have to celebrate somehow.
If I go 15-1, somebody needs to hire me to make picks nationally.
You should be going to Vegas, man.
Yeah.
Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas, all right.
Baby.
Well, we, as always, we hope everyone's healthy and happy out there. Everyone stay healthy and happy, and hopefully we get to enjoy some great football this weekend. SEC starting this weekend.
Yeah, and we talked to Collins, the first game of the week on ESPN, Ole Miss, Florida. Tune in.
All right. Go Cougs.